Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 15th of July. We are going to dig a little deeper into the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians today. Before we do that, I'd like to invite you to be with us in 2 days. I will be in Chapin, South Carolina this Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This Grace Encounter event, hosted by several people in the Chapin, South Carolina area, will be held at the Crooked Creek Complex. The address is 1098 Old Lexington Highway in Chapin, South Carolina, 29036, zip code there. Come be with us, 7 p.m., as we share the gospel of grace, as we talk about the goodness of God, and we share with some of our friends and partners in the South Carolina area. Natasha will be with me, and we are very excited about this event and would love to see some of you who listen to the Deeper Daily Podcast. Come and let us know that you do so. It's always an honor to get to meet you. And Natasha, when she gets to go, she loves to put faces with names, because she handles a lot of our mail and our donations, and she sees these names but doesn't get faces, and so it's always very exciting for her to get to put those two things together. So, and come be with us if you can. If you can't, pray for us. We appreciate that. Safe travels and a good time together. And of course, we will record that encounter and then have that for you on all of our platforms as soon as we can. 1 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." It's an interesting usage of that figuratively transferred. It seems as if Paul is saying that I just want to remind you that I'm using a figure of speech when I talk about that verse 1, servants and stewards, servants of Christ, stewards of the mystery of God. Not that he's trying to pitch them as an actual servant or an actual steward, but that figuratively he is. And he says, it seems to be that Apollos is the other big pillar of the Corinthian church, because his name has come up in the first chapter, the third chapter, and now the fourth chapter. And we know, according to Acts 18, when Paul establishes the Corinthian church, Apollos is one of the first big-time converts that sort of come out of that encounter, as Priscilla and Aquila minister to Apollos, who was, according to Acts 18, very well-versed in Torah and Hebrew scripture and ideology. But it was being introduced to Christ, of course, that made the difference. That's what makes us Christian. It's not an adherence to Torah or even to God. I was talking, I think my wife and I were talking the other day, and I said, you know, the more I go down this road, the more that I think we've got a national religion, and I don't just mean nationalism or patriotism. Sometimes that can probably be a little unfair by saying that, but I think we have a national religion called God in America, where we talk about God as if he is, as if it's independent from Jesus. Like, everybody thanks God, honors God, and I'm not saying I have a problem with that, but that is not Christ. It's not Christ to say you believe in a God. What do you believe about him? It would seem to me that the New Testament writers challenged you to believe about him that he had been manifested on the earth as Jesus, and that Jesus is the way to know a relationship with God. If you want to know God as Father, you're only going to know it through Jesus. So that's how Apollos comes in to the faith, is he's introduced to Jesus and the finished work of Christ, and then comes into the faith. And obviously, because he must be a great speaker and obviously intelligent, he and Paul become sort of those pillars of Corinth. And Paul says, look, I figuratively transferred these titles onto myself and Apollos, but I did it for you so that you might learn that there's really nothing about us worth bragging about. And if there's nothing about us worth bragging about, then maybe there's nothing about you worth bragging about. So that you none of you may be puffed up. That sixth verse, that word is a little closer to our word for arrogant. So Paul says that none of you would be arrogant one against the other. Verse 7, for who makes you different from one another? What distinguishes you, in other words? What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You're all, and what's that mean? Well, if it was given to you as a gift, how can you boast of what you have? Why would you boast as if it wasn't a gift? And I think we should all take a second and think about that. Everything we have according to the grace and favor of God is according to the grace and favor of God. It's not because we are good at what we do or smart or... Listen, if I ever come up with anything, may I be quickly reminded that I don't come up with anything. I mean, I might think I did, but it's really the wellspring of the Holy Spirit doing that work. And if there's any confusion or anything like that that comes with that, then I can take credit for that, because maybe I've interjected my own thing that helped drag this message down. But all of us should receive that word from the Apostle Paul. You didn't do anything to get it. Why would you boast of having it? 8, you're already full. You're already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. And so I don't think Paul's just, he's trying some sort of positive motivation. Like, look, you guys are full in Christ and you're already rich in Christ. No, he says you're full and you're rich. I think he literally means, listen, you guys are blessed. You are full of all kinds of good stuff, and you're wealthy. And there's an indicator of that as you get deeper into the first and second letter to Corinth, when he starts talking about giving, because obviously this is a blessed church financially, a blessed group of people, and you've reigned as kings without us. And so it's Paul talking about, listen, we've been out here putting our lives on the line. You've been reigning as kings, and that's a good thing. We'll talk about the apostles as men condemned to death. We'll go with Paul into that ninth verse tomorrow from 1 Corinthians 4, and I'll see you then. God bless.